Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Handle on the Law. Marginal legal advice where I tell you, you have absolutely no case. The deadline is approaching to register lions and tigers and bears. Did you ever see the Netflix show Tiger King? Which a lot of us have. It's just one of those great, it's a documentary and it's the weirdest characters in the world. And it had to do with a couple of places that were tiger sanctuaries. And the guy the Tiger King, this crazy guy who's now in prison for 20 something years. He had a show where he raised tigers and they became showpieces and people would pay money and they'd watch the tigers do their things, you know, go through hoops and, you know, all the stuff that tigers do when they're captured and they're put in exhibitions. And then there was a woman who had a cat sanctuary. Now, this is in the South. So let's come here in California. The Big Cat Public Safety Act was signed into law last December. Did you know you can buy a tiger from a tiger breeder? You know how you buy a little puppy dog from breeders? You know, like a little doxy. They're about $3,000 and they're cute and wonderful. You can actually buy a tiger from a breeder and you go, whoa, really? Or you can buy lions too. I mean, it's a thing. Well, after the Tiger King and the abuse of these tigers, after the Netflix series, the law was passed passed pretty quickly. And so the law now says that people who own tigers, well, it's their grandfathered in, although, you know, there's all kinds of regulations in owning tigers or any big cats. There is an American tiger trade. And so the lawmakers here, this passed this law, but there's a balance between the animal activists and breeders who did this for a living. I mean, you don't just cut off people's income. You don't cut off their ability to make a living. So here's a law coming in. If you owned a big cat, this is breeders and owners of big cats. They call them cat owners, probably not the same as your cat, who own animals born before the bill's passage, are grandfathered in and are allowed to keep the animals, are now required to register the animals, cannot breed them, sell them, trade them, or offer direct public contact with them. You can't do tiger shows anymore. And if you look at the documentary, there is nothing more entertaining than watching a tiger eat someone's arm off. That is seriously good stuff on the entertainment scale. So that's it. You're done. You can't buy from breeders. Did you know you could buy from breeders? No, you couldn't. And I was about to buy a tiger too. Damn it. That was one of those things that I've always wanted in life. Damn, damn, damn. All right, phone calls. Dave, you're up. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
Bill, I hope you're doing good. Bill, I got a quick question for you. My son, we live in Arizona. My son was driving a work trailer, double axle, through California, doing 74, and he got pulled over. He said that he was supposed to do 55.
Yeah, that's the law. I could have told you that, yes.
They gave him a ticket. We've never got the ticket. I called about a month afterwards. They said to wait for the ticket. It's been about 2.5 months.
Okay, hang on a minute. Okay, they gave him the cop gives him a ticket, and you say you never got a ticket. Explain that one, please.
They're supposed to send us the...
Okay, got it. So he got the ticket. He got the ticket. He has the number. Understood. And there's a number on it, and you never got in the mail the document that says, here's your court date. Here's your bail that you have to put up, which is effectively the fine itself. That's theoretically the bail to make sure you show up, but everybody thinks that's just the cost of the ticket. And here is the problem. It may be that your son fell through the cracks, that it was mailed or it wasn't. Maybe the post office screwed up, or maybe it was mailed and something happened in the system, or it was put in a pile of mail at the courthouse and it somehow was thrown away or lost somehow. I would call up, and you have the number of the ticket, and call up the clerk, find out who does traffic violations. There's a whole department. Talk to a clerk and say, hey, I haven't received this in a mail. Here's my ticket number. Now, normally, I would say no harm, no foul. You know, for example, if you owe money or whatever, just stop it until, don't worry about it until you actually get a bill or get a lawsuit. This one's a little problematic, because here's what happened. If you get a ticket and you then don't submit bail or ignore it, which is what it looks like, even though it didn't happen that way, I'll, for the purpose of this conversation, I'll take your word for it. I mean, there's no reason to doubt you. So as far as the court is concerned, it was mailed. As far as you are concerned, it wasn't mailed. So let me tell you the argument. You know when the argument's going to happen? When your son is pulled over next time and he's put in handcuffs and he's taken to jail for failure to appear.
That's what I didn't want to happen.
Then you have to make the phone call. Then you have to make the phone call, and you've got one last question. Yeah, I'm doing that to everybody today. How about that one? Renee. Hello, Renee. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
Good morning, Bill Handel. How are you doing today?
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
I've got a question for you. My dad lent somebody $25,000 to open up a business. Well, the business fell through. Now, my dad moved out of the country to Mexico, and, you know, the guy hasn't paid him. Now, my dad asked me to go and collect the money.
Right, yeah.
I got the receipts and everything about it, right?
Okay, hang on a minute. What do you mean you got the receipts?
I got the receipts.
Okay, hang on. Receipts buying what? Receipts for what?
For the deposit of the money.
Okay, so you have a deposit slip. Do you have a sales agreement? Do you have a loan agreement of any kind?
No, I don't.
No. Okay. How long ago did this happen?
3 years ago.
All right. So you're still with it. No, you're not. You're not. It's since you don't have a written agreement, it's a 2-year statute. It's a verbal agreement that you are going to say happened. Then the borrower is going to say it never happened. It was just a gift or whatever. I mean, I think your dad would probably prevail. I don't know about that, because there really is no proof, and a judge may very well believe it, but say, hey, the law doesn't allow me to go forward because you have to prove it. But either way, your dad is completely out of luck.
He gave me a payment of some money, right? Regarding the loan.
Okay. How about this? Okay. How about this? Here's his defense. Yep. I borrowed the money. We don't have any proof that it was for a specific time payback or an interest rate. And he said, you can pay me back whenever you have some money, and it doesn't matter when. And here's one payment. Yeah, it's a tough one. Yeah, I know. It's what you get for loaning people $25,000 if you're going to loan them, and you don't have a written agreement. Lynn! Hello, Lynn. Welcome.
Hi. Good morning, Bill. I just have a quick question. I work for a tribal casino, and I had an incident happen requiring me to find legal representation, but every time I call a lawyer, once they find out it's a tribal casino, no one wants to touch it. What do I do?
Well, okay, first of all, what happened? What kind of case is it?
I am required to give room escorts to the hotel guests when they check in, part of a Forbes 5-star standard. And that requires me, being a single woman, to go up into a room by myself, sometimes with a man. The door shuts behind you. We are not given any door stops, or we are not allowed to have like a male bell do it. It has to be offered to every guest every time. And I was assaulted up in the room. And many times I have men that are very inappropriate. I've made numerous comments to my managers, to my supervisors, and they just ignore it because they're so concerned about getting their Forbes five-star standard. When the incident happened and I was assaulted really bad in the room, I was put on a two-month leave, and I was acted like I did something wrong for reporting it.
Yeah, okay. Well, clearly you have a hostile work environment issue here, especially if you've been warned time and time again. I think there's a liability, and the issue is, and you picked it, what do you do when you're going against an Indian casino? Because Indian tribes and their property, they are a semi-sovereign entity. It's a very complicated hybrid situation under the law, where this is based on treaties, and the Indian tribes were just literally given reservations and thrown out of reservations, and we'll give you this one, and then they were thrown out of that one. And the way the U.S. government has treated the Native Americans is abhorrent. It is so bad. So with that being said, it's a very complicated issue. For major crimes, yep, I mean, the state has the ability to go in. For minor crimes, the Indian tribes. And sometimes it's their idea of a court is a tribal council. You're sitting in front of a group of elders or people that are either assigned by the chief or elected by the people. So it's really complicated stuff. And most attorneys, you pegged it completely, will not deal with Indian casinos, especially depending on the case. And that's why I asked you what happened to you. And the issue
I'm not going to waste my time. I'm looking for a different job because I know it's probably.
Here's the issue. I mean, there's a case there, but there's not enough money for a lawyer. I mean, I'd feel much better if you called me and you said, the guy ripped my arm off. And I told management that these are dangerous people and they had me go anyway. I mean, how badly were you assaulted?
It was pretty bad. I was sexually assaulted up there.
That's big news. Okay, all right, we're there. You know what? Here's what I would do is look for personal injury lawyers. And okay. I would suggest with any experience against Indian tribes, or you can go to handleonthelaw.com. Go to handleonthelaw.com and you'll probably talk to a lawyer by the name of Mark, who sort of is the head honcho there. And he does personal injuries. Very, very good. And I don't know if he does tribal law, but he could refer you to someone who probably does. I'm hoping.
Yeah, my camera and everything, and they put me on a two-month leave for an investigation, and they brought me back, and they said that, you know, it did happen, we acknowledge it.
Believe me, you are far less important to them than that five-star rating, by far.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's what you want to do. I mean, there may be a case there, so go to the website, go to handleonthelaw.com and talk to one of the personal injury lawyers and see what happens there. Interesting case. Dealing against the Indian tribes is a whole world. Same thing against state parks. Same thing if you, for example, are injured on federal property. Let's say you get hit by a mail truck, and there you are splayed out on the street, and then the truck goes ahead and runs over your head or whatever, so the damages are pretty good. Your brain splayed out all over the that's interesting visual. But getting a lawyer who goes against those governmental entities is not easy. It is not easy to do. Barbara. Hello, Barbara. Welcome.
Hello. I have a question dealing with community property laws in the state. My daughter's been married for a little under 5 years. She's contemplating a divorce. Her husband bought a house before they were married. About a year after they were married, he put it in both their names.
Mm.
He has supported her for the majority of their marriage. And so if she gets a divorce, is she entitled to 50% of the value of that house or not?
Well, here's my question. What would she do with the 50% of the value of the house that she owns?
She would have to use it to support herself.
Okay, whatever. But the quick answer is, oh, yeah, it's half hers. And you know what made it half hers? Him putting it in both their names. If
That's
he had bought it, if he had bought it prior to the marriage, it would be his. That's considered separate property. But as soon as you co-mingle, as soon as you put it in both names, so when they get divorced and she asks for it, is it an amicable divorce or is it going to get pretty bitter?
It could get bitter.
Okay, then I insist. What happens is, as lawyers sit down or they have a chance to settle, which they might, make sure she looks at her ex and says, "You schmuck." Okay, there you go. Heather! Hello, Heather. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I received a check as a result of a class action lawsuit from a previous employer, and I didn't get the mail because I was living out of state temporarily. So I noticed that it had to be cashed within 180 days. So I called to have it reissued, and they said that they can't reissue it. So I didn't know if there was any other request
I
had. It's for roughly like $780.
How much?
$780. It's not a huge amount, but.
Yeah, no, it's not. And what was the class action lawsuit? What was the settlement for?
I have no idea because it just showed me the name of the previous employer, which was under another DBA. And then.
And when they said who did you call to have the check cashed?
I called the issuer of the check to see if they could issue
it. Who was the issuer?
The person that was responsible for the funds from the lawsuit, I believe.
A person was responsible?
No, a company. It's a DBA. I don't have the check in front of me. I'm sorry. I was driving.
Yeah, you know, I know checks are not good for more than 6 months, but I don't believe that they say you only have 180 days to cash this. Otherwise, there's no money. Because what does that mean? It goes back to the people that settled the case. Does it go to the entity? Usually it's a law firm was involved in the settlement. Mm-hmm. Worst comes to worst, you sue the company for $780. And is it worth it? Maybe. It's going to cost you $100, $150 to file the lawsuit and serve them. And if you lose, you've lost that money. If you win, you get $780 and you also get your whatever the cost of service and the filing fees, et cetera. So it's your call whether it's worth $780. Okay. But the good news is there's a deep pocket there because people call me all the time. I have a lawsuit. It's going to be $500 or $800 or $1,000. And who are you going to sue? Well, it's a contractor who ran away and I don't know where he is. You know, what are you going to do? Spend money and you're not going to get it even with a judgment. So it's your call whether you want to go through that hassle. And by the way, it is a hassle. Mary. Hello, Mary. Welcome.
Hello. Hang on. Let me take your speaker. Hi. How are you?
Good, good, good. Bad, bad, bad. What can I do for you?
So my sister has a Hyundai, which has an ignition situation with TikTok. TikTok put out some video about how to easily steal the Hyundai. So her car was stolen. She got it back. It was stolen again. Same situation. I just didn't know she had any recourse with Hyundai or TikTok. This was her son's car.
Let me tell you how far she doesn't have a case goes. Because there was a major lawsuit against the platforms, including TikTok. And it wasn't just for the stealing business. It was for let's go out and kill people. You talk about white supremacists that put together rallies where people were legitimately hurt and TikTok let that happen. And there is a federal law that exempts the social platforms for being held responsible. And that's the case that went up in front of the courts. And that was the law that was upheld. And so TikTok basically has they're not responsible under the law. And Hyundai is not responsible because, are they more likely to be stolen if someone found a way to do it? I mean, you could theoretically sue them, but, where's that going to go? Who's going to sue Hyundai? Maybe there's a class action going against Hyundai. You can look that one up. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, I just looked this up, and Hyundai and Kia did pay out some money to settle customers over car thefts because they didn't want to go to court on that one because the case that was upheld was on social issues. So there's a settlement out there, which is good news, and I'm assuming your sister didn't get any part of it, you know?
No.
Okay,
no,
well, they could have been that. I just looked it up, and I had forgotten that there is a settlement. You just want to look up settlement, Hyundai, Kia, theft, and the name of the law firm that's handling it and be part of it. Now, there are ways of, I'm just saying, no, that's for bicycles with those bicycle anti-theft locks. There has to be an aftermarket product that makes the Kia, or in this case, the Hyundai, a little bit less apt to be stolen. I don't know what that is. But in your sister's case, stolen twice? Yeah. She may very well be entitled. So just look at those law firms, okay, and see what's going on. That's right. They did settle. Yeah. Joe. Hello, Joe. Welcome.
Hi, Bill. So a year ago, my wife got a breast pump for our first child. We gave the primary and secondary insurance info to the company. All was good. 2 months later, I get a bill for $170. That's what they were going to charge insurance. And on the bill, it said that the insurance was terminated, which it wasn't. I call them. I go through their call center, and they tell me that the insurance they're billing is the secondary insurance. I tell them they need to bill the primary insurance. Otherwise, it's not going to go through. But this call center is in the Philippines, so I feel like they didn't know really what primary and secondary insurance was. So they take down all the info, and now every 2 months since then, I get the same exact bill. And I call them, tell them the exact same thing, and they write it all down, say disregard the bill. Well, this last one, a year ago, since, you know, this was an ongoing thing for a year, the last bill said final notice on it saying that it was going to collections if I didn't pay it.
Okay, you have all of the documents. You have all of the documents. Was any of this in writing, was it all on the phone with the the Philippine? It was a Philippine call center?
Correct.
You know that for a fact?
I wrote little notes.
Okay. Did you hear karaoke being sung in the background? Because that's how you know for sure.
No. But it's very broken English when I talk to him.
All right. Yeah. None of this was in writing. Hold on a second. None of this was in writing. Correct, Joe?
Correct.
Okay. All right. So you certainly have to call the collection agency and explain again what happened and put it in writing saying these were the phone calls that were made. I was told each time that this bill was taken care of. Clearly, it was the medical provider who inappropriately billed the wrong insurance company. And at this point, you don't have to worry unless they sue you, unless they ding your credit. And I would put in writing to the collection agency and say, I have been told, just basically a chronological memorialization of everything that happened. I hope you have dates dates. Yeah. Okay. And just say on this date, I got a call, and this date, I got a call, and this date, I got a call over and over and over and again. And you say, hey, this is the provider who screwed up. Collection agency doesn't care. They're just handed a collection notice saying, hey, this guy owes this much money, and they know nothing about it. But if they ding your credit, and you just put them right there. Hey, listen, if you ding my creditors, you sue me. I am going after you because I put you on notice that I don't owe this money.
Yeah. And now, so obviously they're not going to care and everything. And say they do ding my credit, like what are my options after that? I have to sue them or?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but that gets really tricky because, you have to show damages. It's a mess. How much money do you owe?
Just $170.
All right. Try to cut a deal. Just say, hey, listen, see if the collection agency will take half of it and see if you can cut a deal. Because here's the downside. You're in the right. And you to prove you're in the right, if they ding your credit, is more hassle than you would ever imagine. And if I came to you, you called me, Bill, my credit has been affected. I don't owe the money, but they've done whatever. I would turn it around. I say, let me ask you something. Look at what you have to go through. Look at what you are going through. Is it worth $170 to you to make all that disappear? Would you write a check for that?
Definitely.
Yeah. See, that's the point. So maybe try to cut a deal. Call them up. Call the collection agency. Hey, I don't know the money, but I want this to go away. Will you take half? No. Okay. Will you take 2/3? And just keep on negotiating. Hopefully, you get a guy who's decent saying, "Hey, have you ever been screwed over? This is what's happening to me, and I don't have any money.
Got it.
I don't have any money, and my dog is dying, and I just lost both my parents in a car crash.
Oh, jeez.
And they took away my kids because the wrong social worker came. Say whatever the hell you can. Okay. Maybe you don't want to go that far. I don't know, Tony. You're up. Welcome to the show.
Yes, Bill. I'm calling regarding a violation ticket. It was a camera ticket. I approached the intersection. I stopped because a pedestrian got off the curb and walked, and then I proceeded to make my right-hand turn. A month later, I get a ticket showing my face, showing the plates of my car, and it's a moving violation. It says moving violation.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. If it's a moving violation, shouldn't it be like a video to show me that I failed to stop and I didn't make the turn?
You know, I actually think that's a great defense when you go in front of a judge. Your Honor, they're calling this a moving violation and I was stopped. And see what the judge says on that one, okay?
Yeah, because it's pictures. It only has two pictures.
No, I understand. So what they should do, Your Honor, they should have had a video. Because I was stopped, and therefore it shouldn't be called a moving violation.
Yes, and I looked it up.
I couldn't agree more. And what you looked it up and said what?
And it says the driver facing a steady circular red signal alone shall stop at the marked limit.
Yeah,
I did.
And you did. And then you and then you went through the intersection. Yeah,
yes,
well, that's your defense. Now the judge may see. As I would do if I were the judge, Tony, I can call this anything I want. I can say this is my dead Aunt Bertha. That's what I'm going to call it. But I have a picture of you, and here you are in the red. Thank you. Pay the ticket. Tony, that doesn't work. As a matter of fact, I got news for you. I was not moving, and therefore... they called it a moving violation. Boy, there's a great defense. That's right. By the way, I assume he was driving back from his Mensa meeting. Do I have that right? Danielle.
Hi, how are you?
Yes, ma'am. What can I do for you?
My phone.
Yeah, you're not. Wait. You're not on a speakerphone, are you?
No, sir.
All right. Are you on some kind of Bluetooth device?
No.
Boy, how much did you pay for your cell phone? Because you overpaid.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, let's give it a try. All right, I'm going to give you a pass on this one. All right, what can I do for you?
My grandmother had a living trust that I said after her and her husband's death, my dad was going to get $200,000 along with his other siblings. She passed away. His father remarried, and when my father was in the hospital with an aortic aneurysm, almost passing, he distributed the money to his other siblings and didn't give any of the money to him.
Okay, hang on. So wait. So your dad gets the money because your mom dies, right? And there's a trust naming both of your parents as trustees his parents. And pursuant to the trust, someone gets the money, and that is...
grandfather.
Your grandfather got the money through the trust, and then it ended up going to someone other than named in the trust, correct?
Yeah,
he can do that. It's his money.
He
can revoke the trust, and he can give... if it's a revocable trust, here's the way it works. Okay, I have a trust... And let's say it goes to my wife, right? And that's typical.
Yeah.
What happens is husband and wife normally have a trust. So it's a revocable trust, which there are now two trustees. If one of them died, the other one gets the money. And that other one becomes the trustor. and can change anything you want. Clean out the money, give it to whoever you want. So the only argument you can have, is the money was distributed while he was basically out of his mind, didn't have cognitive abilities, was coerced, was duressed. The person that got the money held a gun to his head, but that's not easy to do.
Okay.
Yeah, it's keep in mind, even if an instrument says, like a will says, someone gets the money. And yeah. Before the death, the mind is changed. It goes to someone else. Let's say you have three kids, and you hate one of the kids. And even though you have three kids, until you die, you can do whatever the hell you want with your money. So, out of luck. That works out. Matt. Hello, Matt.
Hi, Bill. I'm pretty sure. So I was staying in an apartment, and I'm pretty sure that they broke the lease, the apartment complex lease, by basically, you know, the place was like a playground. There would be like 40 kids in front of my apartment. And in the lease, it specified that you couldn't, not to leave like skateboards or scooters. And there was literally, 20 per day. There'd be like 20, 25 on the walkways, like just leaving the apartment complex. I contacted on top of that, the kids would also put like, they would like booby trap my staircase.
Oh, lovely. Okay. So you got kids. Okay. You got kids that are acting out and making your place effectively uninhabitable is what I would argue. All right. So what happened? They broke the lease by doing that. Well, they didn't break the lease, but yes. they made it such that you could not live the way the lease intended you to live. All right. So what's your question?
Correct. So so I sent them, I notified them via calling them, and they would just hang the phone up on me. I would go to the office, and they would say to leave because it was COVID time. And then I sent them certified letters. And then
that's the important one. You sent them certified letters. You have the proof. Okay. And you're saying what they did. All right. Got it. So you left, so right?
3 years later, yes, I left about 3 months before the lease ended. So 3 years later, they got like new management there, and now they're kind of come after me, send it to collections and sue me.
Okay, now here's the deal. You sent all the certified, you have copies of all the letters that you sent and proof of the certified letters, correct?
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
So what you're going to do is tell them this is what happened. Here's a copy of the letters. I'm sure they don't have it. And say, this is why I left, because it became uninhabitable. That's the word you're going to use. It became uninhabitable. I could not leave my front door. And I called and I called, and finally I sent these letters, and you guys were in breach. You put me in collections, I'm going to dispute it. You sue me, I'm going to go after you. You ding my credit, I'm going to go after you. And they probably will leave it alone. How much do they want?
Like $4,500 or something?
Well, it depends on the new management company, what they want to do to go after you or not. You know, it depends on how legitimate they are and how they feel. So go figure. Let me tell you about CBD products. All right. CBD products give you a better night's sleep and less stress in your life, more calmness. I use it. Now, the calmness part, I don't know about. But certainly better sleep and less stress. Now, this is cannabis, but it doesn't cause a high. It provides you with a relief of different types. And the best CBD products that I know of come from CBDistillery.com. And my family and I, regular consumers, we're not alone either. CBDistillery.com has more than 2 million satisfied customers. Wow. 90% reported they sleep better. More than 80%, it helps with stress release with CBDistillery.com. And so if you're experiencing sleepiness or have stress in your life, please go to CBDistillery.com. I use it, and I think it's going to work for you. Start with a 20% discount. Go to CBDistillery.com, enter my name, Bill, for a discount. You don't need a prescription because you don't get high. CBDistillery.com, the promo code Bill, not available in Idaho, Iowa, and South Dakota. This is Handle on the Law.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.